time to play ball. Marlowe's first pitch lined to left field deep. That's heading for the wall. It's up, up, and it is gone. A first pitch home run at 1:09 Eastern Daylight Time, and Jennings has homered again in this series. And with his seventh in the books now, Tampa Bay quickly out in front, 1-2-0.
First pitch of the ball game, and that was all the Rays would need, but that didn't stop them from getting 11 more. That's the play of the game, brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go, at rogersondemand.com. The Tampa Bay Rays win this one. 12-0 is your final score. The Blue Jays tie a club record by striking out 18 times. They did that previously twice at the Angels, at the Rangers. David Price with a career-high 14 strikeouts over seven innings of three-hitter. Mike McCoy is the only one he didn't get. McCoy goes 0-for-1 with a pair of walks off of Price, and then he walked later in the game off of Brandon Gomes as well. So doing a great job as a table-setting leadoff man. Unfortunately, nobody else really did a great job. When you lose 12-0, that's what happens. Phone lines are open. We are Jays Talking It Up, because why not, at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And, you know, you have to feel for Don Wakamatsu presiding over this. He has managed the Blue Jays for three games in the absence of John Farrell, and the Jays have been outscored 24-6. Over the course of those three games. And there's really not a button he could have pushed to make it any different. Interesting to note, by the way, I mentioned that this game ties the Blue Jays' club record for strikeouts in a nine-inning game. The last time it happened to them was in a year in which they won a division. And they won the game, actually. They beat the Rangers 4-0. On July 25th, 1989, despite striking out 18 times, Nolan Ryan had 14 of those strikeouts, but Dave Steeb, David Wells, and Dwayne Ward combined on the four hitters. So the Blue Jays won that game. Today, not so much. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We are Jays Talking It Up to the top of the hour, and we are going to start in Scotland. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight? You probably feel just as bad as the rest of us, to be honest, after that.
I don't know that I feel bad. It was pretty horrifying to watch, I got to tell you.
I know. Well, I'm on the ledge from 3,000 miles away, so I needed to give you a call. This series is a team that was supposed to be catching and overtaking, and this series is beginning to feel a little bit like that Boston Red Sox series earlier in the season. Not as bad, but it feels as bad.
It does, and it feels as bad as the Tiger series too. And I was going to tweet, but I don't know if enough people would have gotten it, that this felt like a game where I should have been calling the play-by-play, because that's how bad the Blue Jays performed when I was doing it. But what's interesting is the Red Sox series was horrible and awful and terrible, and the Detroit Tigers series was horrible and awful and terrible, and they had the no-hitter thrown at them by Justin Verlander, and it was just abominable. And this series has been awful too, and yet here sits a team one game under 500 after 133 games. So that's a testament to how well they played the rest of the time.
Well,
stay off the ledge, Phil.
I'm climbing down as you speak.
Good.
I've just got a quick question, if that's okay.
Sure.
Now we know that the playoffs are likely to be expanded next year. There's been no decision yet.
But next year or the year after. Year or the year after, they are likely to be expanded, yes.
Okay, well, if it's next year, the Blue Jays might find themselves in a playoff push, whether they like it or not.
Right.
They feel they're ready or whether they're not. So their hand may get pushed a little bit. Otherwise, they just stick the course with what's happening at the moment. But with the starting rotation right now, Ricky Romero has been absolutely phenomenal. Brandon Morrow, fantastic stuff, but the inconsistency is beginning to get to me. I know you keep saying it's only your second year as a big league starter.
It's only his second year as a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean that, and that hasn't changed. And stuff like this is going to happen. And he's had, I think, 6 awful starts and 18 terrific starts.
Yeah. And with Brett Cecil as well, since his quote-unquote sit-down in the bench meeting with John Farrell, he's been phenomenal as well.
Yep.
But there's still a lot of question marks in there, a lot of young kids. But if the Blue Jays are likely to make any kind of push next year, I just wonder if the starting rotation needs, I suppose the word I'm looking for is solidifying, somebody to come in and solidify it a little bit more than it looks right now. And I don't know what his contract situation is, but when he got traded away from the Blue Jays, I believe he was due to be a free agent at the end of this season. I've not been able to find out whether he signed an extension with the Brewers, but I'm wondering if Sean Markham might be a guy that the Blue Jays might like to look to bring back. If he's a free agent, I don't know if he is or not.
No, he's not a free agent until after next year. And you can go to there's a website called Cotts Baseball Contracts, which is a wonderful resource to see all that kind of stuff. And baseballreference.com has contracts on it too. But no, Sean Markham's not a free agent, and I don't know that he's the guy the Blue Jays would go after. I'll tell you this. I don't think they're going to shift focus. I don't think that they're going to move up timetables. Regardless, if another playoff spot is available next year, well, you know what? The Blue Jays are going to be a better team next year than they are this year, you would think, just from time and experience and things happening and players getting better with more time in the big leagues. And they'll have a better shot at that spot, but they are not going to do anything that would pull back the development of the team from the long-term picture, whether a playoff spot is available to them next year or not. You're right with what you say about the starting rotation. There certainly are no guarantees as far as any of these starting pitchers continuing to improve or improving. And I know that there are some people who love the idea of the veteran presence on the team. But you know what? They didn't have a veteran presence in their starting rotation last year, and they did pretty well in 185 games. What they need is for these guys to continue to get better and reach their potential, and they'll be fine. They really will. I know it's tough to see that right now, but they'll be fine. Thank you for the call, Phil. Love to hear from people from far-flung places, and Scotland is a good one. The Jays just announcing that Wilfredo Ledesma has been designated for assignment. So his tenure as a Blue Jay is over for now. I believe it's the second time he's been designated this year, but I could be wrong about that one. He had one of the worst innings the Blue Jays pitchers had in a long, long time today. Threw 45 pitches and gave up 6 runs on 5 hits and 3 walks in that 9th inning. It was just horrifying to watch. And you know, he was trying his best, but he was getting smacked all over the yard. So he's done. There will be a reinforcement brought up tomorrow, August 29th, 3 days ahead of the deadline for the opening of roster expansion on September 1st. Justin is in Toronto. Hello, Justin.
Don't jump, Phil. Don't jump.
Phil's okay. He's climbing down off the ledge, he said.
Sounds good. Mike, what a piss-poor performance. It's pretty discouraging to see over 65% of our batters strike out throughout the game. I'm wondering if there's just a lack of preparation for when elite pitchers are coming to town. As you alluded to, that Justin Verlander, that whole Detroit series was pretty bad, and we saw a letdown from the batters again today. Can I just get your take on whether it's a preparation issue, whether it's guys just giving up because they're getting good stuff thrown at them early and often in the game, and how do we fix it, man?
Well, no, I don't see the conclusion that you've jumped to at all. It's elite pitchers, and there's a reason that elite pitchers are elite pitchers. When we see Ricky Romero go out and shut a team down, it's not because the other team's not prepared or the other team's giving up because they're not getting anything good to hit. It's because Ricky Romero's really good. And the same thing happens this way. When you see David Price go out and do this, it's because David Price is really good. When Justin Verlander no-hits the Jays, it's because Justin Verlander's really, really good, and he was on that day.
Exactly. Do you feel that it's happening to us at home a little bit more than on the road for some reason, though?
There's no explaining it. There really isn't. I mean, that's just a coincidence. But losing to elite pitchers, that's because elite pitchers are elite pitchers.
That's it.
Yep. And they beat David Price the last time they played him. There you go. Thank you, Justin. Apologies for the whole poking in the theory. Scott in St. Thomas. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
It was about the middle of the game or so. I had the game on the radio, and Jerry mentioned something about, I believe, the Tampa Bay first baseman, Casey Kochman.
Yeah.
He had 5,807 career chances in the field, and he's only made 10 errors.
That's what Jerry said, yes.
Has the guy ever won a gold glove?
I don't think so. But remember, too, fielding percentage is a horrible, horrible way to rate a player's actual defense. Right? A first baseman's going to get a lot of chances, whether he has good range or not, because he gets a lot of balls thrown to him. But Casey Kochman is a very, very good defensive first baseman. But I don't know if he's better than a Mark Teixeira, who seems to me, from the eye test, to be really an incredible athletic first baseman. Casey Kochman's very good, and he doesn't make a lot of errors. But the number of errors that you make don't really tell you about all the balls you're not getting to. You know what I mean?
Sure, I understand that. The 998, I believe you said, the 998 fielding percentage was the highest ever for a first baseman in baseball history.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, 5,807 chances in his career going into today's game and 10 errors.
That's amazing.
It's spectacular.
And I'm not on the ledge either, I promise. Thanks for taking my call.
Good. I appreciate it. Thank you. And just a warning note about fielding percentage. You try to think about it this way. Think of two shortstops. One of them makes 10 errors but gets to 400 balls. Another one gets to 500 balls but makes 36 errors. Which one would you rather have? You're getting way more out of the guy who's making way more errors. And his fielding percentage will be much lower. Frank is in Whitby. Frank, hello, Frank.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Okay, good enough. Anyway, I guess it's been a bad weekend, and I'm a bit discouraged, and I was always a big Alex fan, but now I'm starting to sway a bit because some of the players he's acquired, the position players, which are quite good, but we've also given up some pitching, and right now pitching is, almost a disaster, and pitching is the name of the game, so how do we get out of this and get the pitching back on track? And if we are going to contend in a year or two, then just don't see the pitching being there.
The pitching is hardly a disaster. I mean, you look at this Blue Jay team, and I think they've scored, 22 runs in their last 9 games, and six of them came in 3 innings against Kansas City.
Yep.
So that's not bad pitching on the part of the Blue Jays. That's the fact that the offense has been just horrible.
Yeah, but do you also think that maybe the offense, the players do get a bit discouraged when a pitcher goes out and, doesn't do very good and they're behind the 8-ball right off the bat?
Yeah, but that hasn't happened a lot.
It happened today.
It happened today.
Yeah.
It happened today, and it happened in Brandon Morrow's last start.
Yeah.
But it really hasn't happened that often. So, I don't see that at all. No. And, if you're getting discouraged because of the presence of people like Rami Lewis and Wilfredo Ledesma, don't. Because what Alex Anthopoulos is building here, he's seeing the big picture. And in the big picture, those guys aren't going to be here. And they're holding a place, much like earlier in the season, Corey Patterson and Juan Rivera and Jason Nix were just holding a place until better players got here.
Oh. I have no doubt about that. I'm worried about the pitching staff. Never mind the position players.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the pitching staff. I'm talking about the bullpen. And the truth of the matter is that most of these guys are, the guys who are getting the garbage innings and who are getting lit up are not going to be here. They are just holding a place much like those other position players did. It's part of the deal. When you have an eye on a guy like Colby Rasmus and he costs you 3/7 of your bullpen and some pretty good arms down there, there's going to be repercussions. And part of those repercussions is that you're not going to have a reliable bullpen as much as you'd like.
That's true. But, we can also look at, I love Brent Laurie. He's on base today a couple times. But bottom line is, if Sean Markham would have been on the mound Would the results have been different? You know what I'm saying? It's a pretty steep price.
Well, what's more important to you? To finish 7 games out of the playoffs this year instead of 15 games out of the playoffs this year and not have Brett Laurie? Or to have a third baseman for the next 6 years who might be able to get you somewhere?
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, starting pitching is still the name of the game. And I don't know how long we could have kept Sean Markham, and that's a done deal.
Uh-huh.
I can accept that, but
I don't know if you can, though, based on what you just said.
Pardon?
I don't know if you can, based on what you just said. Again, what it comes down to is the Blue Jays weren't going to win anything this year.
That's true.
So the marginal wins that Sean Markham would have provided over whoever the fifth starter is at various points in the season really don't mean that much.
All right? Okay. I don't want to tie up other things, so give me some positive feedback. When I sign off, I'll turn the radio on. Give me some good feedback as to what the pitching staff will look like when we contend, maybe 2-3 years down the road. I don't see it happening next year. Maybe not the year after, but do we have some hope for the future?
There are amazing arms on their way up through the system, and there are amazing arms here. If you can't get excited about Ricky Romero, Brandon Morrow, Henderson Alvarez, Brett Cecil, then you know you might want to find another game to watch. There are to think that there's not a lot of pitching on this team is just misguided. The fact is, it takes time. Ricky Romero is the exception, not the rule. He's gotten better each of his 3 years in the major leagues. That almost never happens, and it's a testament to him. Brandon Morrow's in his second year as a starter. Brett Cecil had to go down to Las Vegas to fix things and wound up fixing things. Henderson Alvarez is 21. Kyle Drabek is 23. There are some very, very good pitchers here. Will they wind up being great? Who knows? They certainly have the talent to be great, and that's a great start. Joe is in Ottawa. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. Truth is, I'm on my way back to Ottawa. I got to see my first Jays game this weekend.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. Maybe goes to your point. You know, once a year I come to Toronto, I take my dad, my two best friends to a game. We went Friday night. We were all really impressed with Alvarez as a young 21-year-old, you know. Not just the pitch and the fastball and changeup, but his mound presence. He seems to have a lot of composure for a 21-year-old.
Especially for a 21-year-old who gave up 3 home runs in the game.
Well, you know, yeah, he had a couple of mistakes.
That speaks to his composure, the way he rebounded from that.
Well, and you know, this weekend I've been listening to you as I've been driving around, and you convinced me about the starting pitching, because I would be one of those guys that would be saying, let's go after a veteran in the off season. But, you know, if it means trading Henderson Alvarez for a veteran pitcher, I'm totally opposed to that. I mean, I think this kid's ceiling is unlimited, and he's not the only one. I mean, we forget so quickly about Kyle Drabek, but he's going through his learning pains, and he's only, I think, 23?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, and Luis Perez yesterday, I've been impressed with him in the bullpen and starting. You know, I think the future is bright, and yeah, we've got growing pains, and a team like Tampa can make you look really bad with the pitching they roll out, and if you're missing some regulars like Rasmus and Lind, and you've got some, your MVP is slumping a bit, I mean, they can make you look bad, but the future is very bright for us.
Yeah, I believe it is too, Joe, and I appreciate the call, and drive safe back to Ottawa. Whether you want to see it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you think I'm just here being an apologist and spewing the corporate line, none of that matters. The truth is, there is an enormous amount of talent here, and people should be very, very excited, despite the fact that they're 1-5 on this homestand and that they're facing a 4-game sweep at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow when this series wraps up. Let's get one more call. Dan is in Toronto. Hey, Dan.
Yes, good afternoon, Mike. Mike, the reason for my phone call today was I'm just curious to wonder about the roster move that the Blue Jays made by claiming Weiss on waivers.
Yep.
I understand that Adam Moen's not a center fielder, like he's a corner outfielder, but if you're going to have an opportunity to take a look at this guy, wouldn't this be the opportune time to bring him up and give him the whole month of September to see if he can bring his play from AAA to the major league level?
As a center fielder?
No. I mean, I understand that he wouldn't be able to play center field. But
then who would play center field?
Well, they used McCoy in center field all weekend, didn't they?
Okay, but then where would Loewen play?
Well, I mean, you could put him in left field or you could let him DH.
Where would Thames and Encarnacion play?
Okay, well, now you're touching on another subject. Why is Encarnacion here as well? That bothers me as well.
It shouldn't bother you. He's having a phenomenal year.
He's having a phenomenal second half.
Since the end of June, he's been great. But you know what? Jose Bautista had a phenomenal month in 2009, and it was enough for them to bring him back. He's 28 years old. He's got a cheap option for next year. He's been performing very, very well. There's no reason that Edwin doesn't deserve to be here.
Okay, well, I mean, when your DH has 14 home runs, that should be a warning, a red flag right there.
Yeah, but again, he only had 3 till the end of June, and since then he's been hitting very, very well.
Right, okay. Well, I don't understand what they're doing with Loewen. I mean, they have to make a decision on this guy, and they're going to have to, he'll have to be on the 40-man roster at the end of this year, will he not?
Yeah, if they don't want to make him Rule 5 eligible or lose him on another minor league contract. I got to go, Dan, but
okay,
I appreciate
yeah,
the call.
You.
The thing is, I think that maybe that's a hint as to what they think of Loewen. Maybe there's your hint that they didn't bring him up, that they're not giving him this opportunity, that they're not anxious to take a look at him at the major league level. Although, again, there's no spot for him with the center fielder going down. We will hear from Don Wakamatsu on the other side of this. Thanks to all your calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. 12-0, Tampa Bay. It is the Jays Talk on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays got blown out 12-0 by the Tampa Bay Rays today. David Price set a Rays record with 14 strikeouts in his 7 innings of work, and the Jays struck out a total of 18 times and getting only 5 hits. Want to know what interim manager Don Wakamatsu had to say? So do I.
Talking about Brandon Morrow, the start, I think initially when he tried to step on a little bit and gain some velocity early, he just kind of came out of his delivery a little bit and left a lot of balls up. I think the critical point was that second inning. The curveball to Jasso that started that rally, the double down the line. After that, I thought he made some adjustments, and you know, something that you got to learn from. And it looked like he backed off a little bit, used the slide step a little bit, and kept the ball down. But that time, the pitch count was up, just falling behind. But not a very good day, obviously, and a tough one when you're trying to save the bullpen a little bit, and you have to leave some guys out there. But yeah, you got to tip your hat to Price. I thought he was awfully tough. Thought he got ahead right away with a lot of hitters, and did a nice job with that backdoor cutter on a lot of our hitters. So it's a tough day with facing him.
So you're talking about Price. Is that the key to his success? He gets ahead of guys, because I think he had 8 caught lookings in the game.
Yeah, his ball moves. He has such late movement on his ball, and you get down in the count right away. And like I said, he did it to us early in the year. His ability to throw his fastball and in the backdoor cutter at 92 miles an hour is pretty effective, obviously.
Obviously, 14 strikeouts will tell that story. There's Don Wakamatsu. He doesn't sound happy, and I cannot blame him. Blue Jays fall 12-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Quick on the scoreboard, the Arizona Diamondbacks leading the Padres 3-1 in the bottom of the third on a 2-run homer by Aaron Hill. This series wraps up tomorrow night. It's a weird one. I don't know why, but Ricky Romero taking on Wade Davis. We're on the air at 7 o'clock for a 7:07 first pitch. Blue Jays trying to avoid the sweep and get back to 500. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry and Alan, Tom, Brian, Faiso, bye.